upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hello, language enthusiasts, and welcome to The Language Worker, a space to talk about the people involved in the language business in a broad sense. I'm interested in finding out how their training, work experience, and their passion for languages has shaped our guests' professional and, of course, personal lives. Join me on this journey to explore the multiple and unpredictable paths one can follow when we are involved in the magical world of languages. On this episode, Antoni Maroto will talk to me about how the language that he started learning when he was a child became such a relevant part of his work. Antoni has recently moved to Portugal, and it really seems like he will make the most out of it, both in business and his private life. So here we are with Antoni, not Antoni, right? I'm saying Antoni because I'm speaking English.
Antoni.
Antoni. But if you pronounce it in Catalan, it's actually?
Antoni.
Antoni, right. Let's talk about my Catalan situation a bit later. So this is our episode about Antoni, who's here with us because obviously he's also a language worker and he's a good one. I started following him on LinkedIn probably a good year or so ago because his content was good. And now, because all of a sudden he became a fellow Portuguese person, all of a sudden, not a Portuguese person, but he now lives in Portugal, and that even sparked my interest a little bit more. So thank you so much for being here. It's going to be great talking to you because it's actually the first time that we're talking anyway, and I'm sure we'll have a great conversation because you're interesting and I already know that. So could you at least let us know a little bit of your background in terms of work? I know you studied languages, but how did all that start before actually getting to university?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here, Rita. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been following you for a while on LinkedIn, and I also love your content, and I'm happy to be doing this here with you. So regarding your question, I guess it all started when I was, 6 years old, and my mother had this fixation that I had to learn English, that the English that was being taught at school was not enough. So she enrolled me in an English-speaking school that was after regular school. So she essentially deprived me of part of my childhood. Like, I was only allowed to see my friends on the weekend.
Because you were studying English.
Because I was studying English, you know, like every day after school. So I wasn't a part of the after school life that my colleagues had, you know. So that's how it all started.
Oh, wow. But apparently you didn't hate it so much.
No, I didn't hate it because, you know, since I'm kind of an introvert, I'm okay with not being with people. Like, I enjoy my alone time or not being social at all times because it takes a big effort to do that. So I wasn't that mad. I mean, sometimes I was, of course, because I would miss events, but now as an adult, you know, as years have passed, I am very grateful that she made that decision for me because I don't think I would be here where I am if it wasn't for her. So yeah,
well, I owe it to her. I had never heard about a mother forcing you so early.
Not forcing me, but kind of like you have to, because they also try to like enroll me, you know, like I tried like so many sports. I was never that good at sports, so
English
there
was
had
your
to be
thing.
something I could do.
Yeah.
So
And then when you
I
were
still
spent,
went the
sorry.
sports route too, and I fell in love with tennis, but that's another story.
So there is a sportsman in there somewhere.
Yes.
So
There
then,
used to be.
well, it's always time, I suppose. And you're super young and you can do anything you want. So, but then after that experience, so you became fluent and you liked it and you enjoyed it and you learned it, obviously. And then after all that, how did you decide that you were actually going to continue with your language studies at university?
So around the time that I was 14, we were started to like be talked about the importance of getting good grades to get into the colleges and the degrees that we wanted. And when I was presented with options that I was interested on, the only one that I found interesting enough to pursue a college degree was translation and interpreting.
So it was an
So
easy choice for you.
that's how I decided, you know, that I would continue furthering my language studies and learn to translate and possibly make a living as a translator, which everybody told me, oh, it's so difficult, if not impossible, this and that. And all you need to tell me is you can't do this because I will prove you wrong. I'll like do anything that's in my hand, you know, to like be the exception to the rule if possible.
Wow. So then you, during your studies, you were very interested, obviously, and you continued, well, your language studies in English and other languages or just English?
So it all started with English, but then I took 4 years of German. How was it? I studied it in something called Escuela de Idiomas, which is like School of Languages that's financed by the Spanish government and allows you to study languages for a very modest price.
This in Catalonia.
This is available all over Spain, but of course,
Ah, right.
yes, I studied in Catalonia, and then I was able to use part of that time and claim it as credits for college for my degree.
Okay.
I took 4 years of Russian because when you take translation and interpreting, you generally have to select a few languages, your main foreign language, which in my case was English. Then I went with Russian, and then I had the option to add another one, and I went with French.
Oh, wow.
So
Okay.
I took 2 years of French, and then over the years, I kind of, you know, like flirted with a few languages like here and there on like Duolingo and stuff. But it was 2 years ago that I decided that I would study Portuguese. I didn't have in mind, you know, that I would end up here, but because I actually started studying Brazilian Portuguese
Right.
and I only switched to European Portuguese because I realized like, well, now that you're gonna go live in Portugal, it makes sense that you learn the same language that they speak and use there, and it's still early to be able to make the switch. So,
Exactly.
but the problem here is that there are so many Brazilian people that when I talk to them, I switch
Yeah.
unconsciously. I like go along with them. You know, I end up, you know, like sounded just like them. Yeah. Which
Yeah, I
I
understand.
hope they understand, you know, that I'm not mocking them or anything. I'm just, you know, like trying my best, but it's very hard, you know, to keep it European for me for some reason. I guess because I studied it before, you know, when I talk to a Brazilian person.
Yes, it is tempting. Just go after
Very.
them.
Yeah.
And then when you finished your studies, what happened? Did you become a translator immediately? Did you have other jobs? What happened?
halfway through my degree, I started working because due to, like life circumstances, I did not just study. I had to combine it with work. So that's why if you look at my resume, it took me 8 years to finish a 4-year degree, but it's because I had to work at the same time, so I couldn't do it, at the
First.
expected rhythm speed. So I started working in 19 years ago. And even though it was in the customer care industry, it was because I was able to speak some German and English.
Right.
And that entailed, of course, that if you this thing that so many people have that, oh, two languages, how to translate. So that's how I started translating. Even though I wasn't properly hired as a translator, one of the tasks that I had to take on was, of course, translation. So that's how I got started. And that's how it continued for the next 7 years. Like I was a commercial agent, as a technical specialist, customer care, but always with foreign languages. And that included communicating in those languages, interpreting, translating, and that's how I spent like what I call the first part of my career. Then I started thinking like I have to do more with my life. I can't be working, customer care, like I want more money, I want more freedom. I need to venture on my own. And that's what I did. I started doing it part-time in 2011. And by 2016, when I moved to the US, that's when I said, like, now it's the time to go full time as a freelancer. And that's how it's been ever since.
So the States had a huge impact in your career from many points of view, which I understand because I can relate to because that's what happened to me. Because what we have in common also is the fact that we have lived, I guess, in the same three countries, right? Because you went from Catalonia to the United States and then to Portugal, right?
Right.
And in my case, I went from Portugal to the States, then back to Portugal, then to Catalonia, and then back to Portugal.
Okay.
So I did
Okay.
live in Barcelona for 2 years while working as a project manager at Transperfect. So that's what I was doing in Spain. So I guess we have lived in the same countries right now,
Oh
right?
yes, we have.
So how was
How cool is
the,
that?
I know it's insane. I was like, oh wow, we have lived in the same three countries in different places, except for Catalonia. You probably, maybe you weren't living in Barcelona or you weren't there all the time, but I was only in Barcelona and I really enjoyed it. Of course, I had been there before for vacation and all of that. It was never a huge plan to actually live there, but it just happened for work. So, and I learned a lot from working at the company and of course enjoyed my time in Barcelona. But I know that the States had a huge impact for many reasons that one day we will discuss. But how was it for you? Did you get there and immediately continued your activity as a translator? You did other things?
So at that time, because I had been working part-time, people may think, that working part-time allows you to like have a lesser amount of work, but it's not really how it works. When you work part-time at something, in my opinion, you kind of miss on like the full experience. So I was getting work, but it was sporadic. I didn't really, like have any like important, like relationship with any clients. So when I moved to the US, it was kind of like starting from scratch, essentially. And
I can
it
relate. That's
took
what happened to me too.
exactly. And it took me a year to get, at full speed. And that first year that I was, trying to build my client base, I took on a part-time job as a pet sitter. So I was translating and walking dogs, taking care of cats, feeding fish and birds, and I loved it. I'm not gonna lie, it was great. I would have continued if it wasn't, like so poorly paid, but because I love animals. But yeah, moving to the US changed the game for me because it allowed me to ex have the full experience, as a freelance translator. And yeah, I was. The reason why I got into medical translation was because I moved to the US, because I had never had a request for medical translation while living in Spain before. And moving to the US was like the priority, the main line of work that I found. So that's how I got into it. So for that alone, it was worth moving there. And then, of course, in the US, I was able to charge more than I was charging in Spain. You have to too, because life is more expensive there. So it's a must, obviously. But I felt like respect that I didn't have in Spain, you know? Like for the first time, I felt respected as a professional in the US. I felt like in Spain, it was kind of like, I don't know, I didn't feel as respected. So that was definitely a game changer too. And I became ATA certified, which opened a lot of doors for me. Like, I know certifications are optional. They don't really prove much, except that you've passed an exam that's, in this case, very difficult to pass. But it opened a lot of doors for me. And especially one thing that people always ask me is that after getting ATA certified, I have not had to take on translation tests anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that. But it
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's
makes
kind of
sense,
implied, you know, that
of
if
course.
you pass an exam that's renowned to be very difficult to pass, that it has a pass rate of less than 20%. So I guess, you know, that if you can prove that you've passed that, it's kind of like obvious that you know how to translate.
So you also have a certification, I think, as an interpreter. Do you actually work as an interpreter, or that never came into play?
So the interpreting part, I don't have the certification, but I took what the 40-hour program that's required to take on the certification exam. The reason that I took it, it's because I wanted to increase my medical translation knowledge. I wanted to become more familiar with the terminology and the settings and stuff. I thought, why not? And I considered, I mean, my story with interpreting is let's give it a try. It could work for me, but maybe not. I don't know. Nah, I don't think this is for me. So I had tried interpreting over the phone, you know, in my previous jobs before I took the self-employment route. And when I moved to the US, I also started getting requested to interpret at medical settings. So I said, why not? Let's do it. So it was very well paid. But the problem that I had with interpreting is that I felt it was very demanding. I could not edit myself. And because of my nature as an introvert, I guess, and because I like the comfort of being at home, having to go places on a regular basis was not really for me. Like I was doing it like on occasion, you know, like I had a couple clients that would rely on me as the last option. If someone, you know, like quit last minute or couldn't attend for whatever reason because they were already booked, I was, you know, like the last available option. And I like doing that because I was able to do it on a not on a regular basis, but I guess I like the experience. I like, you know, being paid for it. And I believe that all the patients that I interpreted for, they all thanked me after, even if I didn't speak, you know, Latin American Spanish, because I would let them know. It's like, just so you know, I'm originally from Spain, you know, I'm going to speak different. Let me know if there's something that you don't understand. Nobody ever told me anything. They were all super grateful. And I considered it with when the pandemic started, you know, like, because of course I saw a workload decrease in translation projects, so I thought like maybe I should add interpreting as another source of income, like regular income, and that's when I took the course. But I ultimately decided against it because, yeah, for the reasons I told you earlier, that I think I would have, you know, like been doing something that I wasn't really enjoying doing. And by that time, too, I had discovered medical writing. And since I've always seen myself more as a writer than a speaker, so that's what I end up taking on as another source of income. Like besides medical translation, I also work on as a medical writer. So the medical interpreter career right now is a closed chapter for me.
Right, I totally get it. It's a whole other type of thing. I totally understand. So when you say you're a medical translator, is that any, I'm sure there are particular subjects within medical translation that you specialize in, or that you prefer, that you're more familiar with, that you work with the most, or is it?
I mean, I'll generally take on anything as long as it is not too technical. And of course, considering who the audience is, like I may say no to something that's too technical or that's aimed at healthcare professionals, because I am not a healthcare professional. I prefer writing for patients because I think that takes a talent too, because you may think like, oh, it's simpler. Well, it is a skill, to simplify things without
For
losing the
sure.
intended original meaning. So nothing, to like dismiss there. And my favorite area is anything related to imaging and radiology.
I hear you. I also enjoy that.
I don't know why I have a big fascination with all the techniques and the applications. And I guess it all started because I still do, but I used to, while I was in the States, I used to take on translation projects that involve translating clinical histories of patients. And of course, there would be imaging studies, like included. And
Yeah, makes sense.
because, yes, and because they use, like very like specific language, I was very curious and I started, studying about it. And I felt like, I think this is my favorite area. So that's what I enjoy the most. But I'll generally take on anything and everything regarding the human body. And then another area that I love is pharmacology. And of course, anything related to clinical trials, whether it is to, like test a drug or a medical device, that's something that it's up my alley too.
Very good. So I, of course, as I suspected, your presence in the state, in the States had a lot of influence in your career. But the question is, do you think that coming to Portugal will also have an impact, and probably not the same type of impact because now your career is a little bit more solid. But how do you see that being in Portugal is going to impact your career as a translator?
Honestly, I didn't come to Portugal for, I did this just for personal reasons, not for, I mean, I love that I'm back in Europe and it's gonna allow me, to like, I hope, make contacts. I mean, to retain my US customers, but also get European customers as well. But regarding that, I came here looking for a simpler way of life. I love one of the reasons I love it here in Portugal, it's because people don't seem to be in a rush. And I love that. In the US, everybody is busy, everybody's always running and things. And I don't see that in Portugal. And I love it. And yeah, I like how comfortable life is here. Yeah, I wanted to be back, to be closer to family. My husband used to, he's American. He used to live in Barcelona with me, and he was actually the one always telling me like, whenever you're ready, to go back to Europe, let me know, because I'm in. Like, he didn't wanna really be in the US. So the moment that I decided like, let's try Portugal, it was like, yeah, let's go ahead and let's make it happen. And here we are.
Yes, and I read your posts about it, and I'm fascinated by the details that you are focusing on. Obviously, a lot of language-related content, and you're having fun even going to the supermarket. So I've been reading about that. So what do you think the future will entail for you, living in Portugal, working as a translator? What's going to happen from here onwards?
Well, I really can't see the future. I prefer to take one day at a time, but I always hope things are working out for the best. And that means, you know, that I'm gonna continue to like increase my income, find a better balance between life and leisure and work, and be able to travel and visit places and be healthy. And yeah, I'm positive about the future in general, whether it's work related or life related.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. Now that I know that I have another reason to visit Porto, I love it in there, but I cannot wait to have a coffee in Majestic Café with you.
Yes, please. Let's make it happen. Whenever you're in town, please let me know. I'll be happy to meet you and show you. Are you very familiar with Porto?
I've been there a couple of times. You can say that I know a little bit about Porto. I've been there probably 3 or 4 years, so the last time, but I really enjoy it. I'm actually such a fan of Porto that I really need to go as soon as possible so that we can have a real coffee. We can talk a little bit more about our experiences in the three countries where we have lived and about our experience in translation. So thank you very much. And I do hope that everything goes okay with you and that you enjoy staying in Portugal forever as much as you do now, as long as you stay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.